Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
This is Jack Hoffman. For nearly 31 years, Tico Steakhouse has been a staple for fine dining in Jackson, Mississippi. I would like to invite you to come experience our family tradition of our hospitality, sizzling steaks, and healthy poured beverages. Call today or stop in and experience Tico's in the second generation.
With locations in Ridgeland on County Line Road and now on the Square in Oxford.
You're listening to the Rebel Report podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
All right, welcome in, everybody. Glad to see you on this Tuesday night. I hope all of you had a decent day back to work. I know that the Tuesday after a holiday is tough for some people, so hopefully you guys survived, and glad that you are here tonight. So we are, even though it's not even June yet, which is concerning for me, honestly, it's not even June yet, and we are very much in the peak of summer content, especially when it comes to talking about Ole Miss, because the baseball tournament this weekend, you guys know, not participating. And unless you guys want to break that down, I'm holding in a sneeze. Hold on. Woo! Excuse me. Right after I go live, I'm sneezing. Off to a good start. But anyway, it is early for the off-season content, but here we are. And the concept of now or never for Ole Miss in 2024, I know you guys have seen it because I see it everywhere. Anytime anybody's talking about Ole Miss, anytime there's any sort of, well, who can win the SEC in 2024, or who are the contenders, or whatever, anytime that that conversation happens, you hear that expression, it's now or never for Ole Miss. It's now or never for Lane Kiffin. If they don't do it now, then when? I heard earlier today, if not now, then when is what I heard. So we're going to talk about that concept today. Is 2024 now or never for Ole Miss? Welcome in to the Rebel Report. My name is Michael Borky. Follow me Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube at Michael Borky, B-O-R-K-E-Y. And wherever you get your podcasts, if you're listening on the website or watching on YouTube, search Rebel Report wherever you get them. Subscribe and leave a rating and a review. And this edition and every edition of the Rebel Report Live is brought to you by the Gregory Law Firm. Injuries happen in sports all the time, each one unfortunate, but that is to be expected. It should not happen to you. If you have been personally injured, or you may have a small business or contract dispute, and you need legal advice, call call attorney DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm today. Saltillo, Mississippi, 662-397-9799, 662-397-9799. DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm has got you covered for all of your personal injuries, small business, and contract disputes. Don't delay. Call DJ today. So here is where my mind is right now on this, because I keep seeing that over and over, just like you guys. Is it now or never? Now or never? Now or never? And most of the conversations, if not all of them, are centered around making a playoff run. I don't think there is an Ole Miss fan that realistically expects a national championship this season. Is there? Maybe there are people that are hopeful that the team can become that if they stay healthy with the right breaks. There's a chance that they can be competitive in that way. I don't think they have the roster depth that Georgia does. I don't think they have the roster depth that Alabama does. But when you look around and you look at ones versus ones and even ones and twos versus ones and twos, you really, with the right draw and the right health, should like what Ole Miss has on paper for this team. It's got to come together. You guys know all that. But I don't think that's the expectation for Ole Miss, and I don't think that's the expectation for most people. But when they talk about now or never, I get really confused. And here's why that is. This Ole Miss team, while seemingly a pretty special perfect storm of returning players, experienced quarterback, et cetera, et cetera. The expectations for this team are not any different than what Ole Miss teams have achieved under Lane Kiffin and in the college football playoff era already. It's almost like people are forgetting that the playoff expanded and that 12 teams make it now. The expectation for Ole Miss is to make the playoff and with the right draw win a game or to make some kind of a run. But when you say now or never that they'll never have a roster like this or they'll never have a chance like this, call me crazy. I've seen Ole Miss teams in this era achieve the exact goal that this one is trying to achieve, including last year's team. If Ole Miss completes an identical season to the one that they played a year ago, it's a success. An identical season, it's a success. 10 regular season wins. When you get into what the access bowls now are, which is the 12-team playoff, and you win a game, Ole Miss will have met expectations. It's the exact same thing that they just did. Lane Kiffin would have made the playoff twice already if it were expanded to 12. Hugh Freeze would have made the playoff had it been expanded to 12 in that time. So when you see that rhetoric of, oh, well, they'll never have a team like this again, or if they don't achieve this goal of making a playoff run now, then they never will. How could you possibly say that when Ole Miss football in the playoff era has made multiple runs to what is in effect the playoff? They've made four access bowls. Lane Kiffin's made two. So if you think that this roster and the way it's assembled cannot be done again, maybe not in the third-year starting quarterback kind of way, but what about Lane Kiffin, Pete Golding, Ole Miss in this era has told you that they are incapable of building this kind of a roster again? Why do you think that this is some impossible thing that they did? It's actually the culmination of very pointed and strategic decisions that they have made over a couple of years to get to this point. But this can be replicated. This roster can be built again. They've done it before. Ole Miss in the playoff era has had the number one defense in college football. That 2015 team that went to the Sugar Bowl that beat Oklahoma State like a drum, you're telling me that with the right draw, that team couldn't have won a playoff game or two? They essentially already did. So that roster was great, and it's currently, the program is currently better coached than it was then as well. So although not in the NIL era, Ole Miss was able to acquire talent, and I know Hugh Freeze cheated, but give me a break. Ole Miss football was able to acquire a roster that could go win double-digit games, make the playoff, and win a game in said playoff. Hugh Freeze did it. Lane Kiffin's done it. He's made it twice and won a game in that. This is not some super-duper unique, they lucked into everybody on this team, and this strategy can't be replicated, and they just magically, like, snapped their fingers and had this roster. They're well-funded in their collective. They run a good program that's attractive to players. What about this is not able to be replicated over years? They've already done it, but why do people that cover college football think that this is the end for Ole Miss? That if it doesn't work now, it never will again. Where, when you hold that up to scrutiny, do you think that that is the case? Don't quite understand it. So is it now or never? No. Is there added pressure on Lane Kiffin to get it done? Absolutely. If Ole Miss is able to get it done this year, will it help change national perception of the program? Absolutely. But yeah, it's seemingly a special roster, but the way they constructed it, like I said a second ago, is very pointed, strategic, and able to be replicated. So I don't quite understand the concept of it being now or never, because they've already arrived in this space. It's just now finally becoming a space that they have access to, the expanded playoff. They could get a terrible draw and get Georgia somehow in the first round of the playoff, sure. But what if they get paired up with USC? What if they get paired up with literally anybody else besides Georgia? Just because Georgia did to Ole Miss what they did last year doesn't mean that the program is not in a place that is capable of making the run that they already did. So, anyway, that I was thinking about that earlier today. There's really not a whole lot going on. I know that people are talking high school recruiting, and that's great. But until a commitment actually happens, I think that we'll just kind of let that sit out there, and we'll talk about this with you guys. So we'll get to your comments now after I tell you the podcast is brought to you by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online, absms.com. That's the website. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your office technology needs. All of your office technology needs at Advantage Business Systems. Tell them I sent you. You'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. So you tell them what you need and what your budget is, and they will find a solution for you on me. That's Advantage Business Systems, absms.com. The podcast is also brought to you by Priority One Bank. Let them make you their priority. We've got 16 locations here in Mississippi, so there's very likely going to be one in your backyard. Because Priority One Bank makes you their priority. Their online banking platform is awesome. It's a one-stop shop. So all you need is an internet connection. You can do whatever it is that you need to do with your money because Priority One Bank, again, makes you their priority. So we'll get to your comments now for a few minutes. This will be a bit of a shorter one tonight because we're really talking about one thing. Like I said, we are in the off-season zone right now. We are getting kickoff times on Thursday, so that's what we'll do on Thursday. We are getting kickoff times, so that'll be Thursday. Really looking forward to that. Lane Kiffin and I assume Keith Carter are going to meet with the media at spring meetings tomorrow, I think is what I'm expecting to happen. They have yet to speak. They will. And so that will also be something worth talking about as well. But in the meantime, let's just read your comments. Welcome in, Borky. Yeah, glad to see you, man. Really good to see you. People seem to have a different definition of what now or never means for Ole Miss. And you say, you don't understand, Borky, Ole Miss is falling off the cliff into irrelevancy after 2024, according to some experts. Yeah. Makes no sense at all. But hey, Nebraska is still a blue blood or whatever. You've heard all of that and that they need to make some racket this year to keep the interest up in the program. Can't sell 8-4 as well as 13-2. I mean, that's true. Look, anything short of a playoff appearance is going to be a massive disappointment, barring crazy injuries. But what I've kind of figured out, at least I think, call me crazy. Most fan bases are out of their absolute freaking minds. We talked about Florida a good bit on the radio show today. What an overinflated sense of self-worth that Florida has about their football program. For some reason, I feel like the Ole Miss fans that I interact with and you guys here on the chat are like extremely rational when it comes to the expectations for your football program. After this season, when Dart leaves and Harris and Juice Wells and Watkins and Priestcorn and like the entire running back room and some offensive line, when Uman Mielen and Nolan and Pegues and Ivy, when all these people leave, it will not be difficult to have the, hey, 2025, there's going to be some growing pains. Working in a new quarterback, replace a ton on the roster. 8-4 would be a nice season, replacing all of that. We're going to have that conversation, and I think all of you will be like, yeah, I get it. Reset, reload, get ready for what should be a big year in 2026 based on roster age and stuff like that. Now, in the portal era, projecting out 2 years is kind of a stupid thing to do, but I do expect a ton of rationality when it comes to what's going to happen after this season going into next season. I don't quite get the vibe of disproportionate expectations from you guys. I mean, again, every Ole Miss fan I interact with is like, yeah, just, man, make the playoffs, host a playoff game, get the right draw, win one. And then everything else after that's just gravy. It's a totally rational and realistic. And frankly, I mean, that's just what they should do. That's just what they should do. So I think it'll be easy to sell 8-4 next year, considering that side of it. You like this Ole Miss offense. You believe they can score points and have a good offensive line. I do too. 11-1 keeps creeping into your mind. You're just not impressed by LSU. Me either, although the defensive staff was an upgrade for sure. How are they suddenly supposed to be better than last year? I think they're handling Oklahoma at home and will survive all the road trips. That is quite confusing. Because, you know, when people talk about LSU, they have to do a lot of stretching to get to their justification for why they're a preseason top 15 team in some people's cases. It's, oh, well, Nussmeier's going to be fine. Well, do you know that? How do you know that? Oh, well, the bowl game. Okay. Okay, buddy. His performance in one bowl game, in one game, does not mean that the number two overall pick is easily replaceable. And, oh, by the way, his two best weapons on offense. And, oh, by the way, have you seen their defensive personnel? So I'm with you. There's nothing about it. It's helmet bias that's creeping into their preseason rankings. It's absolutely helmet bias with that because people keep saying, well, it's LSU. Okay, but give me more than that because that's not good enough. That's really like lowbrow content too. I mean, it's like calling Tony Vitello a top five coach in the SEC. Come on. Anyway. You know, LSU got a new DC, but how do you have a defense that couldn't stop 1A high school team with Harold Perkins on the roster? Don't see them being any legit threat at this point. Lost a couple of guys, too, on that defense and didn't replace them with, on paper, ready-made talent. The high school recruiting class was good, for sure, on the defensive line. Did a very good job there. But are they going to be ready to compete? Because they're going to need them to be. Ole Miss could and frankly should have played in Atlanta in 03 and 15. This staff and roster looks to be the most capable we've seen. I mean, yes, they're 4th and 25 away from going to the SEC championship in 2015. Deeply flawed coach, both in program management and on-field coaching compared to what they currently have. You wouldn't say 10 wins and a playoff loss is a success to you. I want to see them win a playoff game, though my opinion can be changed based on circumstances and matchups. Yeah, it's all about the draw. I mean, if they make the playoff and they have to play Georgia and they get beat by Georgia and it's like close but they lose, there's no way you can think that that's a bad season. There's just no way. But if like they draw Florida State or somebody like that and lose, that's a different story. Happy with the first-round playoff game at Ole Miss and a win, but anything after that is luck of the draw. You would be excited with the first-round playoff game. Oh, sorry. Just read that. Back-to-back messages. Appreciate you, Anthony. You could see 2024 as a playoff run year with 11 or 12 wins, then a dip back to 8, then potentially a 10-11 win next year. I wouldn't call that a yearly championship contender, but a tier below? Yeah. And that's where Ole Miss is, and that's where Ole Miss hasn't been. You know what I mean? Because in between Lane Kiffin's two access bowls was an 8-win season. You're, for as good as they've been at acquiring talent and as good as they've been with collective and navigating this era, Ole Miss cannot roster build the same way Georgia does at that level. Now, the 2022 Ole Miss team should have been better than they were. They completely fell apart down the stretch. That should have been a 9 or 10 win team too. But they've never been what post-integration, they have not been what they've currently been under Lane Kiffin when it comes to consistency. And so a dip down after a big year is totally fine as they continue to build the foundation and build up from that foundation. What's up, Cameron? Glad to see you, man. Been a little while. Hold on, I got to make sure that... Yeah, all good there. Sorry. It does help now that everybody and their mother-in-law will get in the playoffs soon enough. Good to see you, Chase, man. It's great to see you. The only you are one of the reasons why I regret the format change. It's working really well. The download numbers and the listen numbers are very good and getting better. But I do miss interacting with you, my friend. Hope you're well. Coaching seems to be the best thing we have going for us this year, considering putting all these transfer players together. They will have their hands full, but I trust Lane. We talk about the roster, but the staff is the most important part, and I think they have it. Absolutely. Look at Texas A&M, for example. USM shocks the nation and takes down the Vols this weekend. That's called a hope and a prayer, but it's baseball. I would love, Anthony, nothing more when it comes to sports. Not in real life, but in sports, I would love nothing more than to watch Southern Miss beat Tennessee in Knoxville. I mean, oh my gosh. Monday, we would turn the mics on Monday, and I think Haydad and I would just laugh for like 3 hours. I mean, we might just play some highlights and just laugh and play highlights and laugh for 3 hours. Oh, that after the crap that Tennessee media pulled, and you know, Southern Miss fans are they're fans of me right now, but they haven't always liked me. Sometimes they don't like what I have to say, and that's okay. They're awfully more passionate about the things I have to say than Ole Miss or State fans, it seems, but that's okay. It is what it is. But they give credit where it's due, and I appreciate them for that. The way Tennessee media treated Hattiesburg and Southern Miss last year was a pathetic. It was pathetic. It was really sad. Hattiesburg is a cool place to visit. You can have fun in Hattiesburg. It's a good town. Southern Miss baseball is a great program with good, a really great fan base, and it's a great place to host a super regional. And I mean, look, I know that they don't have the same stadium that a lot of teams in the SEC do, but for college baseball, Southern Miss does a great job. And watching those losers melt the way they did because a committee dared give them a super regional was just pathetic. And then they started taking shots at Hattiesburg, and I mean, just a joke. It was just an absolute joke. And so I want karma to be rained down back on them. What about the Deuce Knight supposed flip? Yeah, if that happens, there's going to be some recruiting ripple effects that follow that for sure. There are inherent biases for programs like Florida and Auburn who are in purgatory but can easily get the hype over other more proven programs like Missouri. That's another great one. Why does Auburn get the benefit of the doubt in football? Because Cam Newton? I don't know how long ago that was. Auburn gets the benefit of the doubt more than a lot of programs, and they've been a relative disaster for most of recent history. It makes no sense. Makes no sense at all. Wow. This is awesome, Anthony. Going to miss the shows for the rest of the week. Going to Normandy for this weekend for the D-Day anniversary. Love the show. Well, appreciate you, man. I've never been. I haven't been over the Atlantic. I've been out of the country, but it's Jamaica and Canada. That's about it. So I haven't had the chance to do that, but I have talked to people that have been there, and the way they describe it is like harrowing and kind of haunting, but also some at the same time you fill up with just immense pride. Apparently it's an incredibly moving thing. Imagine being Virginia and North Carolina getting to host and being excited, and then you get State and LSU coming in as your two seed. Yeah, North Carolina got screwed. At least Virginia is not the number four overall seed, right? Like, they're the 12. If you get a difficult two as the 12, then okay. You know, so be it. You got to kind of suck it up there. For North Carolina to get the hottest team in college baseball, possibly, when you're the number four overall seed is insane. Think you're going to go with Auburn for the most delusional football fan base? The overinflated sense of self is more palpable with them than any. Florida fans are expecting their coach to be Lane next year because they're so much better with everything over poor Ole Miss. Yeah, except for everything. At the moment, anyway. 8-4 in 2025 following a successful 2024 would be fine. They have to go to Georgia, Oklahoma, and maybe USC. Yeah, I haven't seen official word on that USC game getting canceled. I hope it's not, but I get it. State fans are underrated delusional, you say? Sure, they may not think they're Bama, but they swear up and down that they're on the same level as Ole Miss. Numbers say otherwise. Can Lane Kiffin recruit the same way he portals, like consistently top 15? Consistently top 20. That's kind of where they fit. But here's the thing. Aren't you far more likely to get contribution from a portal player than a high school player at this point? I mean, maybe things change, and maybe they finally collectively bargain with the athletes to the point where they can get some power back. It might be too late for that, because why would the athletes give in anything? They get whatever they want right now because everybody involved handled this terribly. But they get good high school players, but aren't you far more likely to actually get contribution from Walter Nolan than you are a five-star high school defensive lineman? Because you know Walter Nolan's coming. Like, they signed him. He's coming. Yes, he is a one-and-done. Can't be a homegrown guy, but at least you know you're going to actually use him before he leaves, you know? But yes, they can recruit top 20 classes and do what they've done in the portal. I think it's a sustainable, depending on your definition of the word, I think Ole Miss can continue to build rosters this way and win this way. The whole concept of it, maybe not sustainable, but they can build rosters this way. 8-4 could have been much better than it was in 22 if the team kept focus, and the Bama game plus Auburn didn't screw things up. Could have won 10 games easily. Yep, absolutely could have. I mean, Mississippi State whooped them up front, but that was a game that the team was so checked out of at that point that maybe it goes differently, but Lane would win very, very big at Florida. What's been shown is anyone can be a top 10 any given year in this league when the quarterback is right. Ole Miss, State, Arkansas, South Carolina have all done it. He would win very big at Ole Miss. Or excuse me, at Florida. But he also is currently and will continue to win big at Ole Miss too. Until Florida gets the NIL stuff figured out, and even if they have it figured out now, even if it's perfect, there's still going to be the restaurant. This is a great analogy from Hey Dad, where somebody found a mouse in their salad or whatever. You have a hard time overcoming that. It takes years to overcome that reputation. Even if Florida's got everything figured out now, they've got the reputation of promises that they can't keep. Why do you think they're having such a hard time getting and keeping players? You still consider LSU a threat with the offense and the home field advantage, but if they beat Ole Miss, it will likely be in a shootout. I agree there. We do know that the playoff committee avoids matches in the same conference matchups and the NY6 selections. Yes, but will the playoff be the same? Or will they strictly do it based on merit? Because you know there's going to be a lot of people in that room that are going to want to try to put SEC against each other to, maybe they're not successful in doing so, but they're going to want to try to pitch SEC against each other so they don't have multiple years with two SEC teams in the title. You mentioned 4th and 25. Now I know what I'm talking about with my therapist tomorrow. Yeah, sorry about that. 2022 win against Arkansas in the bowl game to get to 10 wins. That bowl game was one of the worst games of Kiffin's tenure. He clearly did not care. Forgive my language. He coached like an asshole that night. I mean, straight up. And we talked about it after the game here and on the radio show. That everybody that paid to go to that game should have gotten a refund. I'm being hyperbolic, but my God, I mean, if they would have known that he would have approached it like that, then shouldn't have gone. The difference is, I mean, listening to him talk and like the way he talks about things and hearing anecdotes about how different, like just his approaches around town now from 2 years ago is rather dramatic. It's very different in a very good way. They were always losing at Arkansas. They weren't prepared and ready for State, who they should have beaten and didn't even show for the bowl game. Yeah, fair. You forgot about the State game. We're reminiscing on bad stuff in the midst of an offseason that it should be filled with optimism. What are we doing? This is not good content producing on my part, but oh well. If UT loses, you're just going to grab some popcorn and watch Wes Rucker's Twitter feed and just scan their message board or any message board involving Tennessee, especially since UT invented baseball. Well, I mean, still remains one of the dumbest columns I've ever read, that ESPN should send flowers as a thank you to Tennessee for putting college baseball on the map. I mean, the huge, that was quintessential. I live in this bubble and something's popular in my bubble. Therefore, it's popular everywhere now. And in this guy's little bubble, nobody gave a crap about college baseball. But then Chess Bump and Tony Vitello came in and started winning games. He's a great coach, by the way. He really is. But he started winning games. And so everybody in this dude's little circle of Tennessee fans started caring about baseball. And so in your I was about to be insulting. I don't want to do that. In somebody's mind, it feels like, well, everybody cares about college baseball now. No. Tennessee's involvement, you had some of this discussion this week that East Carolina doesn't move the needle and Mississippi State does when it comes to interest in the college baseball tournament. Here in Mississippi, obviously, yes. Nationally, no. Why do you think all of the regionals are aired on ESPN Plus, a streaming-only paywalled platform? Because nobody nationally gives a crap about college baseball in any material way. The teams generally don't really matter. Who's in and who's not in? Sometimes the national championship game or the national championship series and the Omaha games can get a little bit of a bump depending on who's in it. A little bit of a bump. But generally, the College World Series and the National Championship Series does not rate well relative to other college sports in their championships, including softball. Softball beats baseball. Oklahoma has owned softball. Like, their last championship that Oklahoma won was uninteresting, completely and totally uninteresting, because they just dominated and were dominant, and they still beat baseball. That argument was just a State had an argument on their merits, and certain people with platforms argued the emotions and the fan base and the stadium size and stuff like that. And it was very goofy and emotional and nonsensical. Argue on the merit, because they deserved it on the merit. They deserved it on the merit. So, anyway. Drop off in 25, but let's break down the manageable schedule for Ole Miss in 2025. Could be a future show. Here's why I got so hung up. Because who's going to be on the team? I mean, they're going to add 25, 30 portal guys. Who's going to be on the team to know if it's a manageable schedule or not? But, yeah, it should be. And there should be an expected drop-off. But I'm more excited about the kickoff times that we're getting on Thursday. I hear you, Chase. Sorry, I muted myself there. You're not alone in that, where some people are getting kind of turned off by all the lawsuits and stuff like that and the settlements, and that's kind of just becoming exhausting content. But as Haydad and I always say, when the games come, you're going to watch them. We're 3 years into the NIL era. This will be year number four. And the ratings are huge. And the attendance actually went up last year. So being here in Hattiesburg, it wasn't just the media. Their fans that came to town were horrible. They were never going to give the place a chance. They were never going to give the place a chance. Now, Chase, you and I are that. This is an interesting take here. I'm just going to leave this one out on the internet here. You say you're on the record saying it's the best of the Mississippi towns, and it's not close. As someone with degrees from each of the colleges and grew up 10 miles from Starkville, wow. Won't be surprised if State wins in Virginia. Then in Fayetteville, them in Fayetteville would be interesting. Ole Miss in 2019 and Arkansas Super Regional was a complete clown show by their fans. So classless. They got rid of the Omahawks thing behind home plate, by the way, after NC State silenced them really quick. You don't like the state the sport is in, but the on-field product hasn't really been tarnished that much to me. Exactly, and that's what I keep trying to tell people, is as frustrating as it is, and we get a follow-up here, I'll watch, follow, be interested in standings, etc., but I don't watch the NFL football the way I would watch college football from 9 a.m. to midnight, locked in. I just won't be now. You're not alone there, but man, because the same phenomenon happened last year. We had these same conversations, not you and I, but general, the people, college football fans had these same conversations last year. Oh, this is terrible. The sport's ruined. It's ruined. It's ruined. And then the season came, and like the stadiums were full and the games were great and they rated well on TV, which means people were watching. I know most people don't care about TV ratings, but it's a good gauge to know how many people are actually engaged in the product. And a lot of people were engaged, record levels. I mean, the pregame shows did well, and all of the stuff we did radio show wise, it felt like it was the same as ever. Like nothing changed once that got there. Once they figure out how to calm the offseason down, I think people are going to start ignoring the fact that players get paid. I mean, when I watch NFL football, I don't think about how much money each player is getting paid unless he stinks. We're paying this guy what? That's about it. But I mean, once the game is on, I don't think about money. I just think about the game. I suspect a similar phenomenon is going to come here too. Eventually, it's going to become the norm, and lawsuits are going to go away, and they're going to try to figure out how to do this. There are some smart people trying to figure this out. And once they do, the stuff that we don't like is easily ignored. That's what it was like before. The NCAA was a joke, guys. They were a joke. The investigations were pathetic and hypocritical. And I mean, college sports have been run terribly and been ass backwards for as long as I've been alive. But it's just easy to ignore that. We're going to get to the point here in this era, too, where it's just commonplace and we're able to just kind of push the stuff we don't like aside. The stakes in the NFL aren't always the highest, but the league does a great job at making the most important games every week feel big. Absolutely. And because of their playoff structure, almost every team on the final weekend is still playing meaningful football. That helps. How will the lawsuit affect Florida with the NCAA? Does the NCAA have any legs currently? Zero. None. Absolutely none. None. None at all. Even with the settlement, they still can't enforce the things that they claim they're going to try to enforce. It's still against the law. So none. Absolutely none. You hate the I'll never watch again people? Yes, they will. We all watch Monday Night Football, Jets versus Steelers, even if it doesn't, quote, matter. I'm glad that coach like an asshole thing made you laugh, Barbara. But it's true. He did. Napier feels like he's on the way out with the lawsuit and trajectory of the program, right? Even if they aren't that bad, 5 or 6 wins is realistic and he's probably gone. They can be very competitive this year and go 5-7. Probably. I have a feeling, though, that this lawsuit's going to turn off some candidates. It's still Florida. It's still an SEC job. They'll pay a lot of money, but Alabama didn't bat 1,000. Alabama didn't bat 1,000. It's harder today to hire coaches than it's ever been. Off topic, talking revenue sharing, I don't know how you exempt football from Title IX without a law from Congress. Department of Education guidance, maybe, but imagine there may be major lobbying effort to prevent that. I've been holding off on talking about that as much as I'd like to because of how much of a disaster I think it all is and how they're failing us and how people that are covering it, with the exception of Ross Dellinger and a couple others, are doing a really bad job. Ross is the best. But if they turn football into a business somehow, as opposed to making it a school-sponsored thing that it separates on its own, you collectively bargain with the money sport players, that there is a line of thinking that Title IX does not apply to income like this. But since they're not deeming the athletes employees, that would probably lose in court because they're still treating them like student athletes. So, poor Ole Miss fans and used to a letdown. Yeah, sorry about that. Didn't mean to go negative tonight. But if they start consolidating and axing Olympic sports, you imagine there could be a ripple on how Team USA performs in international events? Absolutely. And just the loss of academic opportunities for young people all over the country. I mean, they handle this terribly. It is, and you know, Trev Alberts of all people absolutely nailed it today. I mean, he is the only person that works in college athletics that is willing to be honest when he said that all this is doing is exposing the reckless spending that they have. College athletics, there are some people that I don't understand how they have not figured it out yet. There are some people that think that there's only – I see it everywhere. Well, there's only just about a dozen programs in college sports that make money. That's garbage. It's so stupid, and people just perpetuate that. What a grift it was to get people to believe that all of these athletic departments who are involved with conferences that negotiate multi-billion dollar television deals are all breaking even. It's insane that people have bought that, but Trev Alberts nailed it. They don't have a revenue problem. There's plenty of revenue. They have an expenses problem. They overinflate what they spend by design. With all due respect, there is, in no practical business sense, any reason whatsoever for the women's basketball coach at Ole Miss to make what Coach Yeo makes. That does not mean she's not doing a great job. She is. Absolutely is. But when there was a column written by somebody that covers Ole Miss that was, just give her an extra $200,000 in a raise, what can it hurt? It's like, even Ole Miss bloats their spending, obviously. But now that it has been exposed, and now that the athletes are going to start getting paid, you're going to start seeing programs getting treated the way that financially they should be treated. But instead, they all had to pretend, while they're all getting stupid rich off of all of this, they all had to pretend that paying a women's basketball coach $1.5 million, $2 million, more than that, is a justified expense. It's not. Paying men's golf coaches hundreds of thousands of dollars a year is a justified expense. It's not. It's absolutely not. They overinflate their spending to pretend like they break even. Now that there's at least going to be some illusion of operating like a business, you're going to see what was really necessary and what wasn't. Do I plan on doing Ole Miss schedule breakdowns, like putting the schedule in pods of four for discussion or something like that? Yeah, absolutely. Oh, my gosh. We're going to do all kinds of stuff like that this offseason. One thing that I'm going to do is rank the schedule from easiest to toughest. That'll be one thing. We'll do important stretches, pods. We'll have I'm going to start doing interviews with people that cover some of the bigger teams on the schedule, stuff like that. Absolutely. Let's reminisce about Quincy's catch at Alabama in 2015. Good to see you, Jerry. Glad you're here. Another 11-1. You were almost right on that last year, Corey. North Carolina has three times the population. You'd say nationally there's more interest in North Carolina baseball compared to Mississippi baseball. No, there's not. Then by that metric, well, then California has the most interest in college baseball because there's the most people. Mississippi cares about college baseball and attends college baseball more than North Carolina as a state, even though North Carolina has more people in it. But college baseball does not move the needle, even in places that play it well. Oh, you know I love the Gulf Coast, Jerry. I've only been to Pascagoula once in my life, but I love the coast. I love the coast. Talk about it all the time. Ole Miss kickoff times will mostly be irrelevant until the Kentucky game. I'll be more interested in watching the other games around the country during that time, except for the Wake game. Yeah, you know what's kind of crazy? I think the non-conference attendances are going to be great, truthfully. I mean, relatively speaking, right? I don't think they're going to sell out every single one. But you do have this aura of, hey, this is going to be really fun, soak it all in kind of mindset. So I do think that, I think the Furman game is going to be packed. I will be proven wrong on Thursday, I'm sure, but I've heard that the Furman game is going to kick off at 6 o'clock. Or was it 5? Anyway, an evening night kickoff for the Furman game. That's what I heard. So I think it'll be packed for Furman, and then people will quickly leave because God bless my Paladins. I love them to death, but they won't be competitive at all. So I expect a big crowd. I expect a big crowd for Middle in ways that you haven't seen before. We love your show down on the coast. I love the coast, my friend. I'm glad you're here. Giles with the super chat. Thank you so much, man. Are you a first timer here? I haven't seen you comment before, but please, man. Thank you. Please return, but appreciate your super chat. Absolutely, man. Thank you. Paid no attention to the curtain behind the man. Love the show. Keep up the good work. Thank you, Giles. Really appreciate you, man. Thank you so much. That's way too kind. Yeah, that's still not fixing the curtain rod. It's never happening. Some part of you needs Arizona State and Mississippi State to be a 10 p.m. local kick. I hope so. I'm with you. I need that, the reminiscence of the Pac-12 after dark, despite it resting in peace. Grain of salt, my family's College Hill settlers, the church, the school, College Hill store is my great aunt's store. Wow. You despise Oxford Town, always have. Not school affiliated, nightmare to navigate that town, but it takes a damn pretty picture, though. They're working on traffic infrastructure, I think, right? They're doing those loops. I think they're working on that. I don't know. I don't live there. Anyone else in the chat ready for 2025 Ole Miss baseball, or is the love gone? I kid, hope Coach B can right the ship in Oxford. I pray a new coaching addition makes an impact. Yeah, it's looking increasingly like a pitching coach is coming. The question is, though, it's very easy to say the pitching coach is going to get autonomy in May when your season's over. When somebody's never had a pitching coach before, are we sure that they're going to let that person, whoever it is, have that freedom? You hope so, but, we got to see it first. We've got to see it first. Yeah, the city, you know, I don't live there. I am there, though, often enough to recognize that they need to do a better job at forward thinking when it comes to infrastructure. You ready for football, basketball, and then baseball? Luckily for you, that's the order they come in, too, so it works out. Ole Miss football greater than Florida football? Absolutely, at the moment. You think Florida's going to be told no multiple times? I do, too. I think that there's a chance that search has a – there's a chance that search has a chance is something that I was about to say. There's a chance that search becomes a circus. If you're Florida, you would call Urban Meyer. You know he can win there. Who gives a crap? He's a bad guy. So what? It's college sports. It's filled with bad guys. Most of them don't get caught like his dumb you-know-what self, but do you want to win or not? Imagine if Oklahoma didn't win a lot last year, they'd have their sights on Lane Kiffin. Kiffin to cold weather is happening for John Sokolov. It'd be the NFL. I agree. There's a couple of you. If Kiffin is out, it's the NFL. You'd imagine it's the year with all that need to be replaced. If he's the coach in 25, you think Ole Miss can feel as good about his longevity as possible. For sure. I do expect the NFL. Part of me wonders, or part of me thinks that this is going to happen. Ole Miss meets expectations, good season, doesn't win the – you want to know my very specific prediction? Ole Miss wins 10 games. They host a playoff game. 10 or 11 games. They don't win the SEC, though, because they get beat by Georgia. They host a playoff game, win that playoff game, lose the next one. Great season. Everybody's happy. NFL job comes open. Lane Kiffin takes NFL job that comes open. Ole Miss promotes Pete Golding. That's my very specific prediction for what happens down the road. Because Black Monday in the NFL is just really late. After all the coaching carousel is done is when that happens. So, Furman should be a good crowd, especially at night. Middle Tennessee and Georgia Southern, less so. Kentucky will be a hard sellout. Absolutely. Season tickets are a hard sellout. NFL or University of Miami? I don't think Miami's making a change this year. You would have thought Florida State was the biggest threat 2 years ago on such a hot seat. Norvell was on before embracing the portal. Absolutely. You don't care if Meyer's a bad guy. The man is 182-37 as a college football coach with three natties. Sold. Exactly. Exactly. I mean, you can have morals when you're Furman, right? With all due respect to my Paladins, who I love to death. That's a morally sound level of football. Because there's not billion-dollar television contracts and million-dollar transfer portal players. The overwhelming majority of those dudes just play for the love of the game. They play in small stadiums with 5,000 to 10,000 people in them on good Saturdays, and they just play because they love the game. That's where purity exists. Not at the big boy table, brother. There's no purity there. So, we went long tonight, but I don't care. I hope you guys had fun. I appreciate you being here. Really, really thankful for you, as always. Thanks again to Giles for the super chat. You are the man. Thank you so much. Please don't forget to like the video. We'll be back Thursday. We're getting kickoff times, so we'll talk about that and more on Thursday. Thank you, guys. I'll talk to you on Thursday night.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Ford of Corinth has trucks built Ford Tough with powerful engines and rugged exteriors. Whether you're hauling cargo, towing a trailer, or just need a reliable daily driver, Ford of Corinth has the truck for you, which includes a lifetime powertrain warranty. FordofCorinth.com.